Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. I want to thank you for joining us and for this next hour, and we appreciate your being there, and we also ask you to visit our sponsors. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
And I need to say we have Marilyn with us also still. Now, I want to follow up on something. We had asked the director of the Board of Elections here in Craven County if she could come on the show. She respectfully declined. She said most of the items that we were concerned about are controlled by the state and federal laws, and therefore any comments on hers really couldn't change that at all. But we've left the invitation open for her to say and to come in and talk to us in the future. Thank you, Susan Williams, for getting back to us. We appreciate that. Mary, where are we going? Oh, I know. We're going right to Pat.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Musk-Trump conversation, 2 hours. There was a lot of interest before it took place. And then the most interesting thing, I didn't listen to the interview. I've read the summaries.
Yeah.
But what I was interested in was the response by the Democrats, by Kamala, by the international press, by the international governments, UK, European Union, all up in arms about this. Before the conversation took place, the president of the European Union wrote a letter to Musk threatening him if he allowed this misinformation, because apparently now on the left, anything Trump says is misinformation,
yes,
per se. You don't have to prove it was false. It's just that he said it, therefore it's a lie. She threatened Musk, and, you know, he...
So somewhere free speech doesn't apply anymore.
They don't have free speech over there.
No, but we do.
Right.
And they can go and...
They just forgot that.
Stuff
little,
it.
Yeah, and then England... threatened Musk and threatened Americans that if we put any online comments about the unrest between the Muslims and the non-Muslims going on in UK, that they will extradite us and confront us with the full power of British law. And the comments on that were interesting. You might want to read the Declaration of Independence. We haven't really given a flip what you think since 1776. Anyway, that's a little bit off the topic. But
one of the reasons for all the backlash was that the statistics are showing that 70% of that audience that listened to that was between the ages of 25 and 35. And they don't want Trump reaching that age group.
Well, I've only addressed the response from the UK and the EU. This is obviously an attempt to interfere in U.S. elections. It's
yes.
not their place. They have no jurisdiction.
Yes.
There's nothing they can do about what Americans decide to say in America. So once again, it's just all propaganda and nonsense. But at any rate, there was some trouble at the beginning. It started late, but then they had their two-hour conversation. And I watched Greg Gutfeld last night, and he pointed out that they didn't talk about anything in the past other than the assassination attempt. They talked about things in the future, issues that were coming up that would have to be dealt with by the future president. And Kamala Harris's campaign response was, these are two self-obsessed billionaires who will sell out the middle class. And part of that was based on a comment that Trump made to Musk about how he admired Musk for when he took over Twitter and some of his employees were refusing to work.
Let's work remotely, yes.
Yeah, well, refusing
or
to work.
Or work, yeah.
They called it a strike, but it's not a strike if you're not in a union. So you don't want to come to work, you don't want to work, then you're fired. Well, that's perfectly fine under American law. That's got nothing to do with unions. But because they use the word strike, now the unions, the UAW, has stepped up and filed complaints against Musk and Trump with the labor board for threatening to intimidating workers who unionize and want to exercise their right to strike. The labor board has no jurisdiction, obviously, over anything that two people choose to say in an election campaign appearance. So that's just more BS. The president of the UAW called Trump a scab. Musk pointed out that the last two presidents of the UAW have gone to prison for bribery and corruption, so that, you know, maybe this guy ought to pipe down a little bit.
Wasn't there a UAW guy at the Republican convention?
No, not UAW.
Okay.
No, Sean O'Brien.
I knew it was a union.
Yeah, Sean O'Brien. He's the president of a union. I'm trying to remember which one. Do you know which one, Glenn?
No.
I watched his speech, but I can't tell you what. Okay. I'm not a union person, so I don't really follow him. I believe in the right to work. Any rate, so Kamala's response was, these are self-obsessed billionaires who are willing to sell out the middle class. And Greg Gutfeld's comment was, yeah, let's take Elon Musk, billionaire who's created electric cars, spaceships. We might want to borrow one of his spaceships to go get our crew that's been
stranded
up in space. And he's done neural links to help paralyzed people. It used to be a day when we admired those kind of people instead of trying to throw them in the trash heap. Trump, who knows how to build things, made millions, doesn't need this grief.
Teamsters Union.
Teamsters Union. Okay. Sean O'Brien was the Teamsters. That's right. Teamsters Union at the
Republican
at the Republican convention. Yeah. And he gave a very good speech, very forceful.
Mm-hmm.
And I admired the way he kind of walked the line of standing up for his side without denigrating the Republicans.
He was more issue-oriented as well.
Yeah.
With his comments.
Yeah, he wasn't banging on Republicans as, we know you don't support us because you're a bunch of Republicans. He was talking about his business and left up the question of whether or not they would endorse Trump or not. And I assume seeking a response from him, opening a conversation, as it were. But another comment made in the press about the Trump-Musk conversation was that all of the press, the media press, the corporate press, had already written their stories, all of them, before the conversation even took place, criticizing it.
Well, that's typical. That happens a lot.
Yeah. One guy called it an indescribable mess, without saying what the mess was. But...
Well,
these people
USA
are just,
today, USA Today used some.
That was
words.
The guy.
Yeah.
That was the guy.
But
USA Today.
It was two people sitting down and talking about political issues and the issues that impact all of us every day. Now, I want to go back to the who listened, because I think that's very telling.
What are the latest numbers that you have? How many listeners?
I don't have a total number. I just have the ages. 7% of the people were under 24. 70% of the people were 25 to 34. 17% of the people were 35 to 44. 4% were 45 to 54. 1% were over 54.
Well, those are kind of meaningless if you don't know the numbers.
Well, but wait a minute. What that says, that's an indication of where people get their news based on how old they are. Because the younger generation is not watching CBS News. They're going to podcasts. They're going to their social media to get their news. The old people like us.
Hey, watching.
May not even know how to tune into Twitter.
I have no interest in Twitter.
Me either.
I'm not on Twitter or social media at all.
Yeah.
But so to your point, Mary, to your point, though, is that middle group, the 25 and the 15% or what, is that middle group now no longer happy with sound bites, but instead have to listen to a
Well, the interesting thing about that to me, again, 25 to 34, 70%, how many of those people vote? What is the voting percentage of that age group?
Well, like I said, unless we could put a number on it, you could be talking about 50 people. I don't know.
Oh, they already said it was millions that was on
it. It says,
right?
Said there were 78 million. Of course, every article you read is different. But
we know it's a significant number.
The combined conversation, reached nearly 1 billion views 12 hours later.
Views.
79.
And they're okay. Not, but again, they're not saying which side of the political spectrum you are on when you viewed this.
And that's an enormous
Twitter
amount of
spaces.
That's enormous. Yeah, that's
Twitter spaces attracted 72 million by the time it ended.
Oh, I wanted.
By the way, that's still not close to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. One article said it was more than the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it says it increased to 74 million.
No, this said it was over 149 million.
So it's just
did
going
beat
up.
The Super Bowl.
It's just going up.
Well, one of the I remember now what Kamala's comment said. They called it Twitter. They said we're calling it Twitter, not X. And that's one of my hot buttons. Is if I decide what your name is. You get to decide what your name is.
Yes.
You know, nobody else
you
does.
Can't pick your gender.
And it irks me when they don't spell it right, too. If you're going to call me names, make sure you spell my name right.
That's right.
But they called it Twitter and said, and we're not going to call it X. Let's just say it's his purchased platform.
Oh, Gads.
And just like she's purchased all the other platforms. Yeah.
ABC, CBS, NBC, I think, are purchased platforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I will admit that I am still calling it Twitter just out of lack of memory. I haven't gotten used to X yet.
What I get out of that article in the comment is the power of social media.
Yes.
And how many people are actually listening. And it's a good thing that Trump decided to go back on X, because obviously he's going to reach an audience there that he wasn't reaching on his.
Mm-hmm. And there is still censorship on X. It's not what it used to be in terms of it was really awful, but there is still censorship on X.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Stop in at East 70 Pawn for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for staying with us. Now, Mary, where were we going?
I want to talk about something that the Harris campaign is doing that is very misleading. They have been creating made-up headlines next to the names of real news outlets to trick people into thinking that they are actually reading real news. And what they do is they put these up on Google. When you go to search on Google, you get these little headlines, and it says in very small print, paid for by the Harris for President presidential campaign. It will link to a real article, but they've written their own headline for that article. And it's just very misleading, it's dishonest, it's fake news. And they're being called out on it. One of the articles that I found was from Zero Hedge, for instance, and it's one of the issues they're going after is abortion, which is ridiculous because Donald Trump has already said he will not support a federal ban on abortion, because a federal ban on abortion is as unconstitutional as Roe versus Wade was, isn't it?
One
because
thing?
It's states' rights as well.
Yeah, 10th Amendment.
That's what the, yeah.
But anyway.
But they're keeping it the hot button.
Yeah, they want uninformed voters to come out and vote.
There's two states that have managed to put abortion on the issue, whether or not to make it a constitutional right under the state constitution. And that was done on purpose to get abortion right voters to the polls.
To get Democrats to the polls.
Single issue
voters to the poll. But anyway, if you happen to use Google for your searches, be aware that some of the headlines that you're reading are not the actual headline from the article, but the headlines have been altered to be favorable to the Harris campaign, which I think is horrible.
But one thing we can say is they're consistent. They're providing information that's not accurate.
Yes.
In almost everything they do.
And they have the funds to boost these headlines and Google searches so that they come up at the top of the list.
And to go along with the headlines, we all heard about Trump talking about no taxing on tips and then Kamala coming back and saying no taxing on tips. Well, the CBS News, in their statement, says former President Donald Trump vows to stop taxing tips will cost the federal government up to $250 billion over 10 years, according to a nonpartisan watchdog group. When Kamala announced, CBS News said Vice President Kamala Harris is rolling out a new policy saying she'll fight to end taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
By the way, Kamala was also the tie-breaking vote that put the taxes on the tips.
Well, she didn't put the taxes on the tips. She just made it easier for the government to track the tips.
It was an issue in the
Inflation Reduction.
Yeah, the Inflation Reduction Act. Yep. It was to make sure that the 67,000 new IRS agents could track down tip violations.
All these tip violators, yes.
It was part of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Bolstering the
And she was the tie-breaking
vote. She was the tie-breaking vote, yeah.
But the point that I want to make is that it's the same topic, and it's just skewed to the discretion of of the agenda of the reporter, because both of these are from CBS News.
Yeah, and CBS mm-hmm. can skew it however they think they need to.
Well, I can't wait to see how they skew Trump's comeback, which was, okay, let's stop taxing Social Security for seniors.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I did some research on the numbers on that. And stopping the taxes on Social Security for seniors has very little impact on the budget. When they did it, they had 1 year where it actually helped reduce the deficit. And then, of course, when they put the tax on Social Security, they had 1 year where they actually did knock down the deficit a little bit. But then, of course, Congress, in its true inimitable style, figured, oh, we've got more money to spend. So they only had 1 year of deficit reduction. That was the first time. That was under Reagan when they began to tax it. When they began again, they went back and did it again under Clinton. And that time, the deficit did go down because the contract with America came into play. And while the Republicans held Congress with Newt Gingrich, our spending dropped drastically. And then as soon as that all went away, the spending came back up. So reducing the taxes on Social Security is not going to have a large negative impact on the deficit. And the other thing that when you looked at how they started taxing Social Security, initially the numbers were like 40,000 if you were filing jointly. If your income up to 40,000, you weren't taxed. Well, when you bring those numbers forward, and that was the second time. The first time the thing was 30,000, then it went up to 40,000 the second time. When you bring those numbers forward, it amounts to 90,000 in today's dollars. So what they did, if they had brought the numbers forward based on inflation, most people who are collecting Social Security would not have their Social Security taxed. But it's like everything else. When they say they want to tax the rich, gradually that tax the rich comes down to the middle class, and that's who winds up paying the taxes.
And it hurts the middle America.
Yes.
And below the most, because they're the ones that almost solely support.
Yeah, they don't have the accountants.
Slowly hurts them, yes.
Yeah, they don't have the accountants to do the tax dodges that, you know, we have all this bit about taxing the rich, and the rich have tax accountants. We also have the Laffer curve, which says that you can only tax so much before your revenue goes down because you disincentivize people from creating revenue.
You know, when you're talking taxes, I'm sorry, folks, I'm falling asleep.
I have a friend who's living on her Social Security. She gets $9-something a month.
And that's
her sole income.
And they tax it.
And, well, that's what's left after taxes, $9-something a month. And
you can't possibly live on that.
I watch that and I'm just amazed. And she said, I've been poor all my life. I'm used to living poor, but even so.
But you know, when you look at the Social Security and you look at the amount of funds that are taken for your Medicare or all the other things that they pre-deduct from the money that you get, elderlies are hurting, especially when inflation comes up.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other part of that is Trump has said that he wants to stop taxing Social Security. And there was also discussion during that conversation with Elon Musk of Elon Musk coming into the administration as some sort of an efficiency expert and getting rid of some of the ridiculous spending that is going on there.
Well, Greg Gutfeld said that Musk brought it up three times, and Trump just let it go by him. He didn't jump on it.
Okay. Well, we will see what
happens. I would say that's probably a 3D chess move. Yeah. And the reason I say it's a 3D chess move, because if they brought that on, well, then that becomes a campaign issue against Trump.
Well, there was a clip that kind of in that conversation, there was a recognition by Trump that Musk could bring value to that sort of an exercise.
Yes.
That was covered in the because I saw a clip of it.
Well, also, I mean, when you look at what Elon Musk has done with X in terms of trimming down the workforce where it needed to be trimmed down, and I don't know, I remember watching a video years ago when it was still Twitter about an employee coming in and talking about, well, if we get stressed, we have this meditation room we can go to and, you know, all this other stuff. And I'm sitting there watching this video thinking, well, how many hours of actually work do you put in during the day? And I'm not sure there was a heavy work ethic going on when it was Twitter.
You know, I think going back to our founding documents, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, the fight that we had, so many of those people did not make all their money as professional politicians. Most of those folks were either very, very astute business people that made a lot of money, or some of them came from wealth originally, but they didn't make their money off of the government.
No, they were farmers.
They were farmers.
Yeah.
They were farmers, and they had an interest in keeping their businesses going.
Well, since you're talking about taxes, one of the comments that has been made from the progressives is they want to tax unrealized capital gains. And we need people to understand what that means. It means if you have a home that you bought for $60,000 and now it's worth $600,000, you have capital gains of $540,000 that you have to pay taxes on. And if you stop and think about how that would destroy family farms, you know, because if this family farm has been three generations, you know, that might have been $15,000 at the time.
Well, it'll make us a nation of renters, too.
Right. And then the other tax that is constantly talked about is property tax. If you are a senior, you own your own home, but they can tax you out of the home by the property tax being to a point that is unsustainable based on living on Social Security if that is your only income.
Yeah, we need to. I know you're getting ready to take a break, but we need to come back to that.
No, I'm not ready to take a break. We've got a whole.
You're over there fiddling
we've
with
got
your
40
wrap
seconds.
It up song.
We've got 40
you
seconds.
You?
All right, now wrap it up. Okay, I'll put out the wrap it up sign. Okay, let's wrap it up. Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCT8 Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for staying with us.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
God and Country Christian Alliance's 31st annual God and Country Banquet is scheduled for Monday, September 16th at the Havelock Tourist and Event Center. Our keynote speaker is Mr. John Rustett of North Carolina Family Policy Council. Tickets are $30 each or $225 for a table of eight. Sponsorships are also available. Visit our website, godandcountrync.org, to purchase tickets. God and Country Christian Alliance's mission is to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern, to restore to all levels of government the Judeo-Christian values upon which the nation was founded, and to encourage and activate pro-family voters. To learn more about us, visit godandcountrync.org. We look forward to seeing you on September 16th. This year, we also have a silent auction. The doors will open at 5:30 p.m., with the program starting promptly at 6:30 p.m. Check us out at godandcountrync.org.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with us. Mary, you wanted to continue the discussion
before
I had to put up the, what was it, wrap it up sign? Okay.
I wanted to go back to what Kim was talking about because I think it's very important. There is an idea in progressive circles of taxing people on wealth that is accumulated but not actually achieved.
You need to explain what that means.
And that would be like, okay, let's say, well, I'm going to use...
Let me do it for you. It's really simple. If you own stock and it's increasing in value, you don't realize the value until you sell them.
That's true.
So the value where they've gone from, they were worth $1 a share to $10 a share, now they're worth $10 a share, that $9 in there... Until you sell them, you don't get it. But they want to tax you on the $9. And guess what that will do? It'll make you sell it.
Yes.
Now you have no assets.
I'm going to add to your discussion there. So we had some stock. And coming up late December, the company that we had stock in was bought out by another company. So what happened was that stock got sold, not with our permission, but that stock got sold and bought as another stock. We had to pay capital gains on that when in fact we weren't doing anything. So yes, we took a real hit on that
right.
one.
But the one that's the most concerning is the example she gave of the equity in your house.
Unrealized.
Yeah. If it's unrealized, that equity that you buy a house so that you can get equity.
And the question is
concentration of wealth for the regular middle class American is the value of their home. So if they're going to tax you on the $60,000 in value that your home has increased by, guess what? You're going to have to sell your home.
Let's put on the Trump hat. Let's value Mar-a-Lago. Who values Mar-a-Lago? The real estate appraisers or that judge that says, no, your state isn't worth so much and therefore you can't cover your, if you remember back in one of the trials.
They valued it at $18 million and the realtor said, that thing's worth more than $500 million.
So which of those prices would we pay that unrealized gain on?
Well, I'm sure Congress would include something to that
and it would not
work in our favor.
There's another aspect of this. Okay, you bought a share of stock for a dollar. You bought maybe 10 of them, and it went up to $10. So you had to pay the tax on that. The next year, it went down to $5. Do you get a refund?
No.
No, but when it goes back up to $6, you have to pay tax again.
Yeah, this is a really bad idea, particularly since home ownership is the major source of generational wealth in America. So what this is an attempt to wipe out the middle class. And the middle class is the bulwark of a free society. When you wipe out the middle class, you get tyranny. You get the very rich and the very poor, and you get tyranny, which is what happened very quickly in Venezuela in recent years. Now, I don't know the details of how they did it exactly. I know they took over, the government took over a number of industries from people, took their businesses from them and made them government businesses. One of the things that happened in Venezuela, just to go down the rabbit hole for a minute, was when they took over the oil industries, they didn't necessarily know how to maintain the oil rigs. So the oil production went down drastically. The oil production was the main fuel of the Venezuelan economy. And that was when everyday people started really feeling things. And that was when you needed to take a wheelbarrow of money to go to the grocery store to buy milk.
One of the things that I worry about with this money, too, is how easily it would be for the government through the banking to actually seize assets, because we have automatic deposit for your Social Security or for your paycheck. We have automatic payments for our utility bills and our cable bills. It would be very easy for us to be targeted and say, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Fink, you have $10,000 in your savings account. We're going to take X dollars out of it towards your unrealized gains on this, that, or the other. They wouldn't even have to say it's on the whole price of your house. They could do whatever they wanted and take any amount they wanted.
And we're framing this in to be something bad, which it is. It's really bad. But it's a strategy that aligns with their perspective and their goals to rule us. Mm-hmm. So to think that just because it's a bad idea, it won't be pursued is being silly. It is exactly what they would like to do with the population.
But it's the same as the no-fly list. You can get on it very easily. You just cannot get off of the no-fly list.
Like we'll find California. Out.
We'll find out. We'll see how hard it is for Tulsi Gabbard to get off.
Yes, yeah. That has been awful.
Yeah.
Are you aware of that?
I am very aware. I listened to that.
She has been targeted for special searches at every airport
and her husband.
She goes
Not
in.
Not just her.
And her husband. And oddly enough, it happened right after she spoke out and left the Democrat Party. Oddly enough, that was when it happened.
Now, funny to say, going back a number of years, the other person that hit that no-fly list was Ted Kennedy.
Oh, that was funny.
And that was funny.
He was trying to get back to Massachusetts from Washington, and they wouldn't let him on the plane because he was on the no-fly list.
Ouch. Ouch.
Now, there's another story that, Pat, hopefully you know more about this than I do.
I wanted to... Before we do that, Mary, I wanted to follow up your comment about Tulsi Gabbard on the no-fly list.
Okay.
And that she's somehow a political threat after she...
changed parties, yes.
After she criticized the Democrats.
Criticized it, yep.
Yeah. The 72-year-old grandma, the January 6th-er, mm-hmm. that went in and was praying, she just got sentenced... And they gave her a fine of $103,000 for a misdemeanor. And it was interesting that the judge lectured her about her Christian religion. Turns out he's a Muslim. And he was saying that her concern for others that she may have been praying for was misguided, and she ought to confine herself to praying for her family. Gave her the biggest fine, which, you know, if you're 72, how are you going to pay a $103,000 misdemeanor fine? Plus, she has a business, and it's, I think it's a bed and breakfast. He sentenced her to no internet for 6 months. Well, she runs her business like everybody else does, using the internet. you know, for bookings, for payment processing, for buying supplies, whatnot. No internet for 6 months. Probation. And as part of the probation, the government will install software on her phone and her computer to monitor anything that she uses those for.
All of those things sound like unconstitutional.
And the point I wanted to make was the government claimed that because she wanted to pray for others, and that she showed no remorse for praying for others on January 6th, that it proved that she was a continuing political threat.
And the thing of it is, the results of that will end up in less money going to the government because her income, her revenues will go down. And so they're shooting themselves in the foot just from that minor part of the taxes, but it's still a...
I thought punishment was supposed to fit the crime, and I'm trying to understand how her use on a cell phone or on the internet, what that has to do with praying at the Capitol.
Because they're considering these to be terrorism cases, and terrorism requires you to use electronic gadgets. So we have to restrict your access to electronic gadgets, and they have to make an example out of every single one of those people. So the harshest ever for on a misdemeanor fine, $103,000.
Is there any appeal process for her? Is there?
Yeah, it's a criminal offense. She can appeal.
Well, I hope she does.
And the other thing, based on the judge's comment about something being Christian or whatever else, that there might be a constitutional appeal on.
Yeah, there might be.
But
something.
Him being Muslim too, isn't he proselytizing from the bench?
Yeah, and of course he is.
I thought that was illegal.
Now judges get wide discretion, but his remarks were ill-advised. That's what I would say. But he didn't give her any jail time.
Big of him.
Yeah, big of him. I'm sorry I interrupted you, Mary.
No, that's okay. I wanted to ask you about something, and I'm trying to figure out where I read it. The geocaching.
The what?
I think it's called geocaching. The tool that they used to track cell phones of people that were in Washington on January 6th.
At a certain place, at a certain time.
Has been declared unconstitutional. Are you aware of any of this?
No, uh-uh.
Okay.
That means the 2,000 Mules is unconstitutional. You remember the movie, 2,000 Mules?
Yes.
Well, they track those people to the ballot boxes using that geographical data.
Maybe that's why it's been found to be unconstitutional.
Okay, I'm looking... I promise I'm looking for the article. Please talk about something
else. Okay, while you're looking for that, let me point out that a New York judge just ruled on Monday that RFK Jr. will not be on the New York ballot in the presidential race. And he based that on the address that Kennedy used on his nominating petition. He found that the address was a phony address, that his real address is in California. Therefore, it invalidated his entire petition. Therefore, he has no signatures to get on the ballot. So he's not going to be on the ballot. The campaign claims that it will appeal, but I don't know how long that process will take. But in the meantime, another article I read said that the blue states will want to keep RFK off the ballot so that people that would have voted for him will maybe transfer to Kamala, and that the red states will want to keep him on the ballot so that he can take votes away from Trump, which is a backhanded comment about who runs the GOP. Never Trumpers.
But yesterday, Kennedy was on one of the news shows, I can't remember which, and he said that he had well over a million signatures and that passed every single requirement and then some. And he also said that his votes would be taken more from Trump than from Biden. And this was right from Kennedy's mouth.
Yeah. Well, it won't make any difference if he's not on the ballot.
No, it won't. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for staying with us. Mary, you have a place that we want to go now.
Yes, I found my article about geofence warrants, which I totally misnamed. They have been ruled unconstitutional by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Now, as Ricky Ricardo said, Lucy needs some splaining. What is geofence?
Well, that's what they used to round up the people who were in Washington on January 6th. It's cell phone data that they can get your location by just doing your cell phone.
So your location at any point in time?
Yes.
Somebody is recording where your cell phone is at any point in time.
We are being tracked all the time.
You can turn your phone off, off the location data, but most of us have it on because we use Google Maps, we use GPS.
Or Find My Phone.
So if you don't want to use GPS, you can turn your location data off, but that kind of makes...
And there have been studies, and I think Doug Gould had done one of those, that even if you
turn the phone off, it still knows
where you went.
So was it ruled unconstitutional on invasion of privacy?
Now, remember, the Fourth Amendment. It's Fifth Circuit, so it's only that only is binding on the states that are in the Fifth Circuit.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean that all of a sudden nobody can use...
And they're citing the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, search and seizure.
Okay. Well, that's true, because you're not giving anybody permission to track where you are.
Well, actually, if...
If you're using a phone...
If the Supreme Court says you have no privacy, expectation of privacy in anything that's public, and where you are is a public appearance...
And you've signed a contract to use this phone so that geocaching, the cell towers know where you are, and all that it is somebody's collecting that knowledgeable information.
Well, don't the cell phones need to collect it to charge you for for being a Verizon customer?
Well, they have to know where you are so they know when to switch you from one cell tower to another cell tower.
Right.
And also to find me in the woods when I get lost.
I say.
Well, I remember in the early days of cell phones, when your cell phone looked like something that was calling it an air attack, that when you went from one zone to the other, you got a phone call that say, welcome to district whatever, because that happened to me driving from Massachusetts to New York one time. I'm just going over the Tappan Zee Bridge, and New York traffic has always scared me to death, and I'm in the middle of New York traffic on the Tappan Zee Bridge, and the phone rings. It's like, you have got to be kidding. But
Verizon welcoming you to a new service district.
So, Pat, you had something?
Yeah, this is interesting. A Democrat is introducing legislation that would divide the Secret Service by taking all of its responsibility for investigative jurisdiction over payment and financial systems. The Secret Service was originally formed to go after counterfeiters, which was a big deal after the Civil War. Then later they were added this business about
protection of
political candidates, VIPs, et cetera, et cetera. The Secret Service belonged inside the Treasury Department. Now the Secret Service is in Homeland Security. So this legislation would take all of the people that would normally be in the Treasury Department over counterfeiting and move them into the Treasury and leave the Secret Service as a standalone agency, which probably should have been done years ago.
So you're saying this is a good thing?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Well, putting responsibilities where you theoretically have the need for keeping track of the accuracy of the money or the viability of the money.
Well, the viability of the money belongs to the Treasury Department, one would think.
You'd think.
If you're making the money, you probably ought to be looking after it.
Although all the money now happens to say not the Treasury, but instead it says Federal Reserve, which is a private organization.
So at any rate, that's what's up with this with the Secret Service. I thought that was an interesting, particularly after the contretemps over the assassination attempt.
Yes, and we're recording on Wednesday, and that was a month ago, and we still don't know anything more than we did.
It's called cover up.
And we're not going to either. And the mainstream press has even stopped talking about it. It's already in the memory hole.
Well, wait a minute. Let's go. We actually learned that the White House cocaine was intentionally destroyed by the direction of what was the name?
The lady.
The article said she wanted it destroyed.
She wanted it destroyed.
But the Secret Service agency said no.
But it did get destroyed, I believe.
I didn't read that in the article. It said that they insisted that they comply with the evidence detention, retention statutes.
They gave it to Hunter to smoke it.
That's
or whatever you do with it.
Sorry, we didn't mean that, but we said it, yes.
Well, Glenn, you made a comment while we were off the air about the press has gotten the word that it's okay to go after Hunter.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
Well, it's public knowledge. It's on all the news cycles that, you know, the things he's being prosecuted for, and they're not trying to cover for him.
I noticed they raised the issue that he was offered $1 million by a Romanian oligarch.
Yes.
That is within the period of time they're prosecuting him on the tax crimes. That's the first I'd heard of that, and that's just in the last few days.
Biden was a vice president.
Yeah, and he went to some ambassador to try to get something.
Well, my tin hat is polished and shiny, so I'm just going to go ahead and say that I think the reason that the media is going after Hunter now is because Joe is not running for re-election, and part of the reason that Joe agreed not to run is because he had said he would never pardon his son, but Kamala never did. So
did you believe Joe when he said that?
Well, I don't know, but he can say he kept his word. And Kamala could
if
very
you were Joe,
easily.
If you were Joe, would you trust Kamala?
Well, good question. Now you got me rethinking my tin hat.
Just pardon him on the way out. What do you care? You're not president. Go lay in your beach chair in Delaware and leave us all alone.
And please put your shirt on. Oh, my gosh.
I want to go back.
Old Ben.
Pat, you made the comment that the decision on the geofence would only be good in the Fifth Circuit. The Fifth Circuit is a combination of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. So it's not going to in any way impact the January 6th people.
Well, I know that they do things with cell phone service. We know several people who were at the January 6th event, and many of them reported that their phones were not working. They could get a text message, but they could not receive a phone call. So there was something being done to scramble those phones.
Wow.
You know, they used to have a device when you went into a movie theater that would interrupt your cell phone so you couldn't do anything in the movie theater with a cell phone.
Yeah, I think that's called a metal roof.
Well, now it's called the metal roof, yeah.
I think that's a good idea in that case.
Going back to your geocache article, is anybody remember that movie, 2000 Mules?
Yes.
Where they were looking for the people that were delivering mass ballots to
the drop boxes.
The drop boxes, and they traced their movements using the geo data.
Yeah. Yeah, they traced the movements.
Georgia's not in the Fifth Circuit.
So they're still good.
And apparently the technique used and the information that was used actually located apparently two criminals that I think
Two murderers
there
or something.
Murderers in that same
so
area.
The data was
good enough for the conviction of those murderers, but yet with 2,000 mules, we don't want to look there, so.
That brings up a question in my mind. As Bob said, the data was used to capture two murderers. When you're a criminal, do you give up your... I mean, if you had a... Let's say you had a murder in Texas where this ruling just went down, and they could find the murderer through geofencing... They can't do that. Is that correct?
They could go get a warrant.
Aha. Uh-huh. So if you get a warrant,
yeah,
you could do
it. Yeah, get a search warrant. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The reason they were contesting it is because it was without a search warrant. And the Fourth Amendment says people have a reasonable right of privacy in their home and their letters and affairs unless a warrant shall issue for probable cause.
Okay.
And the question is that data being used... The geo data being used in the privacy of your home, or is that being used somewhere out in public? Again, you've signed some kind of permissions, lots of permissions with the Verizon or AT&T.
Well, what about the traffic light monitors? You know, the cameras that they have on traffic lights, or the cameras that they have to get speeders, or the security cameras at the shopping mall. I mean, we are being watched all the time. We have no expectation of privacy. And all of this has been hidden under the guise of security. So,
which is a legitimate concern.
Well, in a parking lot outside, maybe.
Well, look at the Boston Marathon bombing.
Well,
they used those security cameras to reconstruct where the Sarnoff brothers were in relation to the backpacks that exploded. That was certainly a legitimate law enforcement objective. If you watch British police shows, the whole of London is under cameras. Their main roads are under cameras, so almost all their evidence seems to be camera evidence.
Well, it seems to me that those cameras at the red lights are to get speeders. Well, yeah, they're not for security.
Well, to generate income.
But you know what? Those cameras used to only take a picture of the license plate. Now they capture the picture of the driver because when they first took those to court...
The car's guilty, but not...
car's guilty, but who was driving?
Yeah, who's driving?
But that's another example of giving up privacy for the sake of security, and we have to figure out where we want to draw the line.
But it wasn't giving up. It was taken.
It was taken.
We didn't give up a thing.
The courts took it. The court said if you're on a public walkway and they're taking a picture of you, you have no right of privacy.
Okay. Folks, that's the end of the show for us for today. Thank you for staying with us. This is a CCTA wake-up call. Thank you.